I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests. David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are the very first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but get on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Drewski.
Hey now.
You got thoughts.
I do have thoughts. I have a bunch of things I was trying to get to last show, and I got so excited about blinds galore and doing a flyover and stuff like that.
Sure.
I never got to anything. And I'm seeing some calls up here. Please hold on. These are really interesting and important calls. So let me – I think I may save one of these till next show. But I had a thought. For some reason, I think I was listening to Stern, and they were talking about – I don't know. They were BSing about wearing women's clothing or something. And then I was started – this is how my bizarre mind works. Then I was thinking about Woody Allen, and I was thinking about Everything You Wanted About Sex Were Afraid to Ask. Remember that film?
Mm-hmm.
And remember the crossdresser in that film?
Yeah.
It's an old man with a mustache, and it was sort of weirdly – it was comedic to us at the time, but portrayed pretty accurately, right? The guy was he broke away from a dinner party and started prancing around in the neighbor's clothing.
I know most of Woody Allen's films – very well, but the stuff like that, Sleeper and stuff that people think are his best,
right,
aren't his best in my mind. So I like Crimes and Misdemeanors and Love and Death,
you
and
know what I've,
things like that much more.
You know, one of his best films was Stardust Memories. And I've watched that twice in the last year, and there's a ton packed into that one. It's worth revisiting.
Radio Days.
Yeah. I watched Radio Days. Strange. I watched that about a week ago. I just was trying to kill some time. I watched about a half an hour. You know who the little kid is in Radio Days?
Seth Green.
And I texted him.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
As a little boy.
I know.
And he has a bunch of stories he wants to tell us about. We got to have Gary.
Agreed.
We need to have Seth up here on this podcast. And if it works, he wants to tell us some stories. He wants to tell stories about Woody Allen. He and I are huge Woody Allen fans, Adam and I. And it'd be cool, wouldn't it, to have a little thing dedicated to that? I'm just saying.
Anyway, I am.
I'll text him. He was telling me there's a bunch of stories about that, like the one scene where the rabbi's hitting him and his parents are hitting him, and I could tell he was sort of cracking up, and he goes, yeah, I was cracking up, but I was also trying not to cry because they beat the shit out of him apparently. But anyway, that one scene, it came to mind for me, and I thought it was a pretty accurate portrayal, and I thought, oh, how interesting. I wonder if all these years this thing that psychologists and psychiatrists have been calling cross-dressing – was actually partially expressed transgender.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if those guys could be fully honest at that period of history, they couldn't sort of conceive of going all the way with these impulses. But I'm going to bet you that the lion's share of that was not cross-dressing, but actually transgendered. Does that make sense?
It does.
It's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think
– because people – we you know, I used to love line. We would get called about cross-dressing all the time. It was a kind of a common thing.
Yeah.
And if you think, oh, maybe that was actually a partially expressed transgender impulse, people are wondering, are we seeing more transgender now? Maybe we're just seeing it more fully manifest now that it's being more allowed. Does this make sense?
Well, first off, so if you have the impulse to dress like a woman, is this an interesting thought? It is an interesting thought.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. If you have an impulse to dress as a woman, then in my mind, you're not very far away from wanting to be a woman. Your fantasy is wanting to be a woman.
To climb in the body of a woman. right?
Yes.
And the question is, do you feel you're in the body of a woman, or are you just flirting with this transformation?
Well, I think it's safe to say that a certain percentage of those people wanted to be a woman.
Absolutely.
Thus they dressed as a woman.
But they couldn't really understand it, right? They couldn't really make sense of it because there was no model for it, right?
Well, I think there's – I think it's two parts. I think, A, there's no model for it, and then, B, they – there was a societal pressure, obviously, that didn't really tolerate it. And then number two, they couldn't physically pull it off because there was no such thing as hormone therapy.
Right.
There's no such thing as genital reassignment surgery.
Right. So it just became, I'm going to take on the clothing of, but really I want the skin of. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the real question is, you don't hear as much about cross-dressers anymore because
no.
those people and have become transgendered or trans
I think
whatever.
That's right. And the cross-dressing, it went down as a sexual thing. But think about all the stories we heard. It was never like people dressed up as a woman and then had sex. They would do it. They'd do it by themselves and then admit it to their partners. Remember?
Yeah, I do.
So it's not really a sexual thing. It was a identity thing.
I agree. And so whereas the number of cross-dressers historically was very high, it was a thing. Now the number of cross-dressers is low.
We think. We're surmising. It seems like it.
Well, either that or it's just been put on the back burner because it's no big whoop anymore.
Yeah.
Then the people who have the impulse, because it's something that probably kicks in pretty early,
mm-hmm.
in terms of you don't turn 45 and start cross dressing. It's something that you have an impulse that's early.
Yeah.
These people are now essentially seeing it through.
They're it's more developed, more blossomed.
Well, yeah. it's
allowed to blossom more fully.
Yeah, I'm not going to go up in the bedroom and shut the door and shut the curtains
right.
and do it once a week. I'm just going to live it.
Which is may have been behind that all the time, right? We just don't know.
No, I do. I do know. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think if that's what you're secretly like to do or to be or whatever, I feel that thought about, look, when a 13-year-old kid puts on his favorite rock album, picks up the tennis racket as the guitar, and starts singing into the hairbrush, it's not, oh, he likes lip syncing. See, he would like to be a rock star.
He wants to be that thing.
He wants to be
doing
that
in
thing.
Front of the
it's
mirror.
Not, no, he likes playing a tennis racket. No, he doesn't have a guitar. He doesn't have a stage. He doesn't have an audience. But if he did, that's what he'd be doing because that's what he's fantasizing about doing. So he would like to, you would never say to the 13-year-old kid playing the tennis racket and holding the brush for a microphone, you would never say to him, would you like to be a rock and roll star? And him go, oh, no, I get my jollies off just doing it in my room with the tennis racket.
There
might be 1%, but most people go, yeah, I'd like to be a rock star.
Right. But it brings up the interesting question of fantasy and play. When is fantasy and play just that, and when is it a wish? Right?
I don't trust fantasy and play that much.
You think it's a wish?
I do think it's a wish. I don't trust fantasy and play when it comes to, like they kind of say, like with the serial killers, like, oh, he liked to torture small animals.
Oh, no,
but, you know, right. like, oh, okay.
That's not,
and it's not that he doesn't like animals.
No.
It's that he doesn't like life and he's going to move on to runaways.
Well,
and it's not quite that. But what I'm saying is I don't and look, maybe it's just because it's insanely foreign to me. But I don't – when you tell me, hey, this guy likes it when the chick puts the strap on and then comes up behind him and, and then he has to suck on it, whatever. And I'm like, all right, you're calling that role playing. I'm calling that a guy who would like to have a gay encounter who's really just not up to it. Maybe he's religious. Maybe his parents would – maybe it's his job. I don't know what it is, but I don't just compartmentalize that and go, well, that's just fantasy and
well,
play.
What about people that are in closing their eyes and thinking of somebody else or something else? Is that wishing they weren't with the person they're with? We sort of encourage that with people's sexuality, don't we?
I don't know if we encourage it, but I think whatever it is you're closing and picturing, if you are taking a bite of a Subway Veggie Lover's 6-incher and picturing a big sloppy meatball sandwich, you wish you had a meatball sandwich in your hand. I'm a firm believer of whatever it is you're thinking about. It's what you're thinking about. It's kind of what you're wanting. So we give things kind of little titles that then let us, oh, that's just a role play, fantasy role play. But a fantasy to me is what you'd like to be doing. Maybe you can't afford it.
But there's
maybe
liking.
No one will indulge you. But I would like. Had many fantasies.
Yeah.
Many fantasies in my life that I've been able to go do eventually. But it took me some money and some training and some time.
I hear
some,
you. But there are also fantasies, though, that you wouldn't actually choose to do in your life. It would have many, many consequences. It would mean a lot of different things. And you wouldn't actually choose it. You wouldn't prefer it. You may have a motivational desire for it.
I don't know.
I want to eat a cheesecake right now. I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? There's other things that come in.
I don't put that under the heading of fantasy.
I understand. But I mean, here's what I'm fantasizing about. It was Blue Apron.
Oh, no.
Speaking of food, always talk about food. I can't stand it.
I'm going to eat a pistachio.
All right. Well,
I'm going to fantasize
about Blue Apron and their fresh, high quality ingredients. Less than $10 a meal. That's a fantasy. I mean, that's a reality, but it's fantasy. New recipes created each week, and they are not repeated within the year. It takes 40 minutes or less to prepare Blue Apron meals. Upcoming meals include spinach and mozzarella pizza with olive, pepper, and ricotta salad, Parmesan-crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine.
I don't know if I can read anymore.
Mm. Sweet and sour salmon. Mm. Delivery options are arranged to fit your needs. No weekly commitments. Only get the deliveries you want. Just those you want. Check out this week's menu, and you will get three meals free with free shipping. We said they're less than $10 a meal times three. That's about $30. Free, blueapron.com/ADS, and you'll get this week's menu and the three meals free this week. Free shipping. That is Blue Apron, one word, blueapron.com/ADS, ADS rather, Blue Apron ADS. That's our code, and Blue Apron is a better way to cook.
Yeah, so I like your hypotheses about.
Yeah, it's funny that I was thinking about that.
No, it's it's very true, and I am very. You could call it sort of closed-minded, but I'm just sort of. If you want the partner to put on the strap-on and lube up,
go ahead.
Just be with a dude.
Yeah, or whatever. Or
whatever.
Or have the strap-on. I don't care.
But I don't feel. I feel like for the lion's share of those people, they are talking about having an encounter with a guy, and they're just not emotionally ready to hang that title
on
themselves.
But so what?
I don't care.
You're right. Let them be, and same thing be. It did – having this thought, though, did make me more optimistic about the move that people are making.
Well, the
because it becomes an evolution then.
I was talking to Lynette about this, and she wanted to know what you thought about it.
Right.
And
go ahead.
You know, the problem is if you have a 9-year-old and the 9-year-old is showing tendencies toward gender identification other than their own, mm-hmm. they're switching over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's this part of you that thinks is this a phase? Is there something going on? Is there peer pressure? Have they seen too much stuff on YouTube or something?
Yeah.
Is there something going on? Or is this real? Is this a life choice? And should we get on this sooner than later? Because the sooner the better in terms of hormones and therapy.
Is, I don't know.
I know. That's what I said. And look, the answer is the same answer, which is, well, for some people, it is, and they should.
That's right.
And for others, they're going through a rough patch
and
something happened.
How do you differentiate? That's the hard part, and I don't know. And that's incumbent upon doctors that prescribe the hormones, and I don't think they're doing quite a good enough job with it. Same thing with the surgeries. The psychiatric outcome on the post-surgical cases aren't that great, so that means we're not selecting properly the cases that should get the surgeries. So it's,
well,
it's complicated.
You riddle me this. God, the one guy we talked to, the gal or whatever it was the most angriest fucking motherfucker on the fucking planet. Like, I remember, like, I've never met a more miserable chick or dude in my life. Like, you've made the top of the fucking list in both genders. God, that guy's a fucking douche. Or that girl. I don't even remember what it is, but there's this thing which is, I would like to be a female. And of course I'm miserable because I'm walking around with a cock and balls and I want to be a female. So wouldn't you be miserable if you, I mean, think about the ultimate.
And in this world, yeah, I'm judged and I.
Yeah, yeah. Think about the ultimate hair shirt. Like, yeah, in terms of, you can't think of anything more uncomfortable than I'd like to be another gender.
Yeah.
So then you save up your money, you do your therapy, you talk to your therapist, you fly to Sweden or San Francisco, you get your gender reassigned. And now, after so many years of yearning to be a woman, you're a woman. Now you think you'd be euphoric, I'm guessing, at this point, but it seems like the data suggests you're not.
Right.
And I'm guessing the data suggests that you're not happier.
Well, I'm talking about the Williams study at UCLA, and there it's concerning data. People have all kinds of reasons for questioning it. But the bottom line is, whom we select for the surgery is a really important question. And doctors need
What does the data suggest? I don't know it. I'm just knowing
this
it from
Williams
the one
study
person
showed
I talked
a lot of suicide after the surgery.
Well, let me liken it to being rich.
Yeah.
Because I'm rich now. I'm literally a millionaire.
You're gonna kill yourself?
No, but I'm insanely dissatisfied, and this is nothing like I thought it was going to be. Nothing. I didn't know I was going to have cunty chicks at the airport, like fucking. I didn't know that I'd be a rich guy going through an airport and have some fucking cunt in Atlanta go. You want to throw away that Starbucks here? And I'm going through the part where they're checking ID. And I go, well, I just bought it, so the line's long, so I'm going to throw it away, you know, before I go through security. And she goes, Aunt Esther goes, why don't you throw it away now, right here? And I said, well, wait a minute, do I have to throw it away here? I just throw it before I go through security, because I'm drinking, I'm in line.
Did you think somehow as a wealthy guy you were going to flow through the world? And
I watched. I didn't think I'd have this bitch yell, go on, get. She yelled at me, get out of here then. I thought I'd just turn around and have her fired. Like, no, I watched movies about, I watched the Beverly Hillbillies.
You thought you'd be Don Draper.
I thought I would be Jed Clampett. I didn't know I would go out and try to get a loan and have, you know, $10 million worth of assets and have them go, fuck you, you're declined. Like, I didn't know all the shit I was going to get. I didn't know how bad it was. I didn't know no one was going to listen to me. I didn't know people that work for me weren't going to listen to me. I had no, it's the worst thing ever. It's fucking horrible. I had no. So yes.
So your life is a perfect metaphor for a male to female transgendered woman.
Yes, I was poor my whole life, and I said, if I were rich
person's skin, I'd be happy.
Then you find
I'm
out.
I'm a poor person in a rich person's body.
Then you become
no,
rich.
No, a rich person's body. No, rich person in a poor person's body. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you become rich, and all you find out is everyone thinks you're a douchebag, and no one listens to you. And now you kill yourself.
Oh,
see what I'm saying?
Yes, I see what you're saying.
All right.
Hang on. Simply Safe.
Yes.
Okay? Because you're rich. You need to protect your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should be easy. It's not in the past because you had to have installation appointments. You had to drill holes. You know, you used to do it yourself. Locked into contracts. Not so with Simply Safe. Comprehensive, professionally monitored home security all online. And each system is what they call a security arsenal. And by the way, you can monitor elderly parents or kids. You can look at it on your phone. Entry and motion sensors. High-def security camera. Everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called it, quote, comprehensive, easy-to-use protection, and named it Editor's Choice for Home Security in 2014. You put it up. You put it, and you moved it, right?
Yeah.
You moved it into a house. Order today. Be protected by the end of the week. Get 10% off right now when you go to Simply Safe. That's Simply with a Y. S-I-M-P-L. Excuse me, with an I. What's wrong with my brain this week?
It's always a mess.
It's a little farty, yeah. S-I-M-P-L-I Safe. Simply with an I. SimplySafeAdam.com. So it's S-I-M-P-L-I Safe Adam. SimplySafeAdam .com and order your Simply Safe system. That is Simply Safe Adam.
Hey, Gary. Why don't you go fetch James Dean and his bio out there? Because he arrived a little bit early, and I figure, you know, let's just bring him in and talk to him here. I'm not sure. James, porn entrepreneur, I guess we would call him.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Pioneer.
Porn pioneer. Sort of made his claim to stake with, what, Teen Mom? Was that you, Drew?
He had sex with me?
No.
Oh.
One of your clients.
Farrah.
Farrah. That's where he first came to prominence, right?
No. Well.
Well, I didn't hear of him before that.
Yes. Oh, he used to come on Loveline back in the day with me and Mike, I guess.
But I knew him from the Farrah Abraham thing, right?
That's, there was a lot of stuff around that, yeah. A lot of controversy.
Well, I don't keep up on all the fellas in the business, you know? You know what
have
I'm
you,
saying?
Have you, so you've never met James Dean?
No,
before.
I have met him. Oh. I'm trying to. Okay.
All right. That's what I was asking. I was asking.
No, you're not asking. I'm saying that's where he sort of came to national prominence is what I'm saying. James Dean, good to see you, man.
Thank you very much for having me. I have to say this is like a dream come true to be in the same room with like both of you at the same time.
See, I thought – somehow I thought you had been – I feel like I've known you long enough that you'd been in that phase of Loveline. But it was me and Mike, I guess. Or me and Stryker even, right?
No, you and Mike.
Me and Mike. Why is the mic not working?
Who's
that? Try it again.
They'll heat it up.
3, 4, 5, 6.
It's not working.
7, 8, 9, 10.
Uh-oh. They're dialing it in. I think they're dialing – there it is.
15, 16.
There it is. Yeah. There it is.
So here we are.
Good to see you again, James.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
Let me see if I'm pronouncing this right. Diminuendo?
That is correct.
Wow. Look at me, Drew. I've overcome my ability. Tell us about this film.
So this was a movie that I did. It's actually – I'm just the supporting guy in it. I'm not like the star or anything. It's Richard Hatch's last movie. He recently sadly died of pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
Yeah. And during the production, like everyone like could see that there was something very wrong with him.
Did he know it?
Yeah. I think he did. Well, actually, I shouldn't speak on that because I don't know
what
if
was
he
his
knew.
Most famous movie?
I'm not sure. Battlestar Galactica, I believe, is what he was most known for.
I got to see a picture of him because that Richard Hatch. Yeah, Richard Hatch.
Yeah. It is Battlestar, right? That's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
absolutely.
All right. So he, I think the director knew. I think a few other people that were closer to him than I was, obviously, knew. But he, there was very serious physical, like, signs that he was not well. And I mean, he just was like, no, I'm not feeling well. I have a little stomach problem or something. Mm. And he muscled through and gave a great performance, and it was an honor to be included in his last project.
Wow. Give us a little – he wasn't old. What's he, 62?
Yeah, he was not – yeah, could
71.
Have been.
71.
71?
Really?
Wow.
Looked really good. Looked
really good.
I thought he was in his 60s.
What is – give us a synopsis of the movie.
So it's a it is a sci-fi romance movie. Chloe Dykstra is the leading lady, and Richard Hatch is the leading gentleman. I'm basically the asshole like character who pretty much is the comic relief and says really stupid things and people tell me to shut up and it's, you know, funny and really fun. The movie's he's a down and out director. He used to be a big time Hollywood director, Oscar winner, you know, great director. And he kind of fell from grace and is really depressed. Now he's just like an alcoholic and kind of just a, you know, screw up. And it's because this woman he was in love with had died. And then this company is brings him back to direct the story of her life. And they have her played by a robot of her. And then the idea is that they're going to then sell these in mass production.
It's a beautiful poster.
Yeah. And they're going to sell these in mass production and have your Marilyn Monroe bot and your, you know, Chael O'Shea, who's the character bot. And then everybody could have their own personal.
This will happen. This will one day happen, right?
Yeah, I'm amazed it hasn't happened already.
Well, or VR may obviate the need for it. So.
Yeah, except that, I mean, so, well, for VR porn specifically, I've been dabbling in and the idea of getting into it. But I feel like if someone walked in a room and I was wearing those goggles and jerking off, I'd be trying to get the goggles off my face before I put my dick in my pants, because I'd just be like, no, I swear I wasn't wearing goggles. I was jerking off to normal porn, regular normal porn.
Well, I you know, what I always – I mean, maybe this is upon us if we'd like. To me, the next whatever in porn is – putting whoever you want in the porn movie, whether they've consented or not, to be in this porn movie. And I mean,
like holograms?
Well, using technology that is probably George Lucas has at his fingertips, I'm sure.
George Lucas, come make porn with me.
You have a Margot Robbie is your idea of a most beautiful woman on the planet. Margot Robbie makes films and is probably not going to do porn for a number of years. But you would like to see what she would look like doing a porn movie, and with whatever computers and whatever images we have and all pixel
technology,
this and that,
yeah,
we're going to put her in a porn, and then you will then be able to order your see. Like, when I was a kid, if you would have told me, "Hey, Linda Carter's in a porn movie," I would have paid anything to see what Linda Carter would look like in a porn movie. And
you know Linda Carter?
I know who
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
I know, she's Wonder Woman.
I'm not like personally familiar.
But I'm wondering also. Then you get into this weird world of if a woman, let's just say it's Margot Robbie, and you go, look, will you do a porn movie? And she says, no, I don't want to do a porn movie. And then you say, will you let us do a scan of you? You know, like when they're doing an animated whatever, when it's like a put the green suit on with the ping pong balls or whatever. We'll do full scan. You will get, you know, 30% of whatever this is.
Yeah.
It's going to take a day in front of a cyclorama and a green screen or whatever, but you don't have to have sex with anybody. But we're going to get this.
I think most of it is the stigma around being in a porn. Because, I mean, from being on mainstream sets and porn sets, I can safely say porn sets are way more professional. They respect their performers way more. You're way more careful with, you know, boundaries and making sure everyone is comfortable. Opposed to mainstream, where they'll just basically be like, oh, you're not happy about that? Well, do it anyway or you're fired. And it's just...
Has a PC culture bled into the porn set?
Oh, yeah.
I could imagine.
I basically haven't left my house for... I like bought this acre of land in Pasadena, and I pretty much am building like my own little cabin in the woods where I never have to speak with humanity ever again, because I'm just getting really... irritated with the fact that you can't say or do anything without, you know, like a Pepsi commercial that really is not... really very interesting or relevant somehow has triggered, quote unquote, this entire like campaign against Pepsi because of what? Like,
it's, well, you know what it is? I'll tell you the problem. I realize what happened. We taught dumb people clever phrases and they love to trot them out. There's nothing a dumb person loves to do more than the Pepsi campaign I found was very tone deaf. Culturally tone deaf. And it's like, that's a person who never said tone deaf before this, but we taught them, CNN taught them tone deaf or insensitive or microaggression or whatever it is. And dumb people love parroting things that make them sound smart.
I do it all the time.
Not me too. Back in the day. No, but it was like Michael, you know, it's like Mike Tyson going, I punched him in his equilibrium. It's like, he's trying to sound smart, but he's just not smart. So the reason we have a lot of douchey people now is because they spit out. They have access to legalese and all this kind of stuff that's going on, and they have no business using those words.
I'm going to teach you a vocabulary word.
Yeah.
Empty slogans. Mm. Shibboleths.
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 Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Is that
so we're loaded with shibboleths today. Gary, look it up.
Yes. Is that Jew? So when you're
a Jewish holiday.
Now you're on a porn you're on a porn site, right? I mean, sir, you're on a porn set.
I mean, I am on many porn sites.
But you're on a porn set. You're on a porn set, and we're living in a world where if you're in a work environment and you compliment a woman on her skirt, you could get written up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Drew, focus over here.
Gary's taking issue with my vocabulary. What does it say?
a saying that people repeatedly cite but which is wrong or thought to be wrong by some, or a word or custom whose variations in pronunciation or style are used to distinguish members of in-groups from those of out-groups.
Empty slogans. That's another way of thinking of it. That's my abbreviated way of saying that.
All right.
Slogans that aren't really right. They aren't really meaningful. You don't really attach anything to them. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I got a slogan.
Go ahead.
We're beating a dead
Tell
horse.
Tell me to shut up.
Now, we live in an environment where you are going to get reported for complimenting a woman's skirt if you work for corporate America.
If James does, imagine what.
You'll be written up.
It'll be a media circuit.
Now you have to go on to a workplace where you're going to blow load in a chick's face. But yet, that same environment still kind of permeates, right?
So the adult industry is at a very weird... It's the first time in my entire career I've ever had an ethical dilemma with what I do. So I'm 31 now. When I was in my 20s, I obviously cared less about the world and other people and stuff. I've been paying attention to consistencies in behavior with the younger models that I work with. And intimacy almost is uncomfortable for them.
They're traumatized. Yeah.
It's like I'll do scenes and I'll like grab the girl and like kiss her like be like, look at me in the eyes. And it'll almost be like, no. I just spread my legs. You use my hole and blow a load on my face. I'm like, no, that's not sex. That is a certain type of pornography that, if that was the scene we are doing, then we can do it. But there's companies like XArt and Erotica X and, Passion HD and all these companies
people
that
want to see real connection.
Their whole sweet center where they've built their demographic on reality sex, like intimacy and not just like the more gonzo type like analyze.com, which I was saying is like that's more of the just, porno style.
Do you ask them what's behind that? Do you talk to them?
I don't feel like I have the credentials or the
you're afraid what you're going to get into.
And I don't have the proper training to be able to usher them into like where they need to go. APAC is sorry for interrupting, but yeah. APAC is APAC-USA.com. It's basically SAG for the adult film industry, and they have a list of APAC approved like therapists and sex work positive people and health educators and stuff that ideally
that may not
be referred to.
That may not be good.
Why?
Because anytime...
Please come and audit us.
Anytime a therapist has an ideological point of view, that's not good.
I agree.
They should just be good therapists, period.
The way that you get the APAC stamp of approval is essentially the APAC, like I have one for my companies, they send out a thing saying, do you agree to not do these things? Like exchange sex for services. Mm-hmm. Like I'll give you an hour of therapy if you blow me. Like, that obviously is not the APAC approved. So it's less a matter of people that have an agenda and an opinion, and more a matter of
as soon as you say sex work positive and stuff, it's like
yeah, I agree. There
it's
is
like
a,
just human positive. That's all helping people where they're finding meeting people where they are. That's all maybe where they're at.
It's not my job to choose them, so I'm not really. Yeah. I volunteer for the organization and like help with things. I'm not responsible, so I can't. But I will happily have you come look at Everett and be like, yeah, lose that person. Yeah.
I have an interesting thought. Which is, do you think that some of these younger women who you're working with, do you think that there's the idea of being caught on film or digitally and living forever on the internet, being intimate with somebody is a tougher pill to swallow than having sex with somebody, like really being intimate with somebody.
To quote a wise man, it takes all kinds. I got that from Loveline when I was a kid. I think so. Back to my ethical dilemma is, I personally think, yes, I do think that is part of it for some, but I think more than anything is, in the last 10 years, we have had more free pornography at your fingertips than ever before, and to a point where people are no longer learning about sexuality and then learning, and even if they are seeing porn and then learning about sexuality afterwards, they understand that there is a that there's entertainment value to it. This is something that is made for a purpose. This is not like – this is an example of what sex is. This is people having sex for entertainment. Even if it's on a subconscious level, you're getting the tape from your older brother who, you know, stole it from the dad, or then, you know, the neighbor who, you know, whatever, and you're passing it around. Everyone's like excited to see this magazine or whatever, and you're not – and you have to like wait until you're older to really dive deep into the dark areas of where people are peeing on each other and fisting each other's butts and all sorts of stuff. Now, a child, a 12-year-old child, 11-year-old child, anyone, you know, at any age, could go to a myriad of places on the internet and be exposed to endless amounts of content.
I think the average age of exposure now is like 8 or 9.
Which is not okay. I mean, now granted, like some people, yes, I'm sure there is a 8 or 9-year-old in existence that of all time who was completely able to, you know, deal with what that content was. But I would say very confidently, 8 and 9-year-olds are not able to properly process what this is, especially when it's not just like, oh, here's two people kissing and some standard, you know, sex. Right. It's some crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that because people are now not only getting their – I mean, they are getting their sexual education and stuff, and I'm sure it is better from what I've been told from people that have kids. It's better than it was when I was a kid. But they're still being seeing these examples regularly for years and years and years of what they believe to be sex. So when they encounter any sort of sexual experience where it's like, oh, like I was taught, I have a, on jamesdean.com, I have a, you know, do a scene with James Dean where women can submit an application. And then after a very long talk and months of me pretty much saying like, you know, everyone's going to find out, it's going to affect your future, you know, and basically trying to talk them out of it kind of, then we shoot a scene. And in the last, you know, I want to say 2 years, there's been a big shift of just the type of personality that is doing the scenes. And, you know, I'll have conversations and they'll be like, oh, yeah, and then this guy came on my face and all this stuff. And I'm like, you don't know that, like that is something that, you know, people should, like, discuss and make sure. It's not just part of sex is you drop to your knees and take a load on the face. Like, it's something that is could be fun and that you might be into, but it's like anal sex. You don't just do it. You communicate and figure out, like, make sure if your partner wants to do it or try it. And then if you do like it, then go nuts. But, like, it just seems that there's this, like, programming mm-hmm. and desensitization to what sex and sexuality is. And it's creating this very odd dynamic within the industry. And I've had conversations with partners. So the people that run – I mean, it doesn't matter. They run a bunch of websites. This guy, he's a father of two. And he and I were having a conversation about how I want all adult film sites. I want this free – like I wanted everything to be behind an age verification wall that you can't just say, yes, I'm 18. You actually have to input a credit card, something to the best you can to create a 18 and over environment. Mm-hmm. And then everything that's exposed to the public should be no different than the human centipede, where you get an image that is safe for whoever. It's not – well, nowadays it'll offend everyone, but for the most part, it won't bother people. You have a description which very clearly expresses what it is, and you have a disclaimer of, you know, TV, MA, whatever, horrible things for these exact reasons. People are going to get their intestines sewn to each other. And then if somebody wants to, then they can proceed beyond that. And he said, and I agree with him, he said, as a father, he's like, I agree with you 100%. I would love to do that. As a businessman, I'll go out of business in a day. And I'm kind of in the same boat where I have – so now I have analyze.com, dtfsluts.com, jamesdean.com. I run baddaddypov.com, twistedvisual.com, povpervis.com, perfectgallery.com. I have a jamesdeancelebs.com and a mail.jamesdeancelebs thing. So I have all these websites, and I'm in this world where I'm like, well, I want to just make this – you know, safe for anyone who stumbles on it. But at the same time, I need to compete in the business world. So I have to give something. So like with analyze.com, for instance, recently, I removed all trailers. So you have video, like screen caps, and you can see the images and it's very clear what it is. Unfortunately, it is still hardcore content. But like I said, I can't just go out of business and it sucks. But So then in order to access any real hardcore content, you need to get through a paywall. JamesDean.com, for the most part, all my trailers are just the first minute of a video, which is pretty much people talking. It's not very, it shows you what's going to happen. Maybe there's some boobs or something, but it's not like dick and butthole craziness. And,
you're trying, but
it's also one of those things where it's like, it's kind of an all or nothing situation where And I don't have – I mean, with everything that I see in this world right now, none of these solutions are simple. They're all pretty much giant systemic problems that need to be tore from the ground or rebuilt from the ground up to create a new structure in order to make it better.
Wow. Who knew we were going to dive that
Sorry.
Deep? That's all right. I'm interested because I find it fascinating that the sort of world that we're living in is trickling down to pornography as well, and no one, no business or institution or anything is immune or can escape mm-hmm. the next generation of people who are coming up to fill those jobs, whether it's computer analysts or porn star. It's like they're still raised on fill in the blank. They're still 21 or 19 or 28, and they're still the same person. They've chosen different paths. Interesting. I'll tell you what's more interesting. True Car, baby. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new, you're looking to buy used, you get discounts off of a list price. You get a better buying experience. That's what you want to do. Our own Chris Maxipana used True Car and is loving his Prius. I thought it was new. He bought it used. I have a couple miles on it. Couple of years old. Look, you see what others paid for the exact same car. You get a fair price. You lock in your price. You get your certified dealer certificate. You go in. It's quick. It's easy. You pick up your car, and that's it. You're out of there. So when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, it doesn't matter. It's one or the other. It's new or used. It's True Car. Some features not available in all states, but I bet they're in the state you're in, and I bet you're going to use these guys. True Car. Diminuendo is the name of the film. It says coming soon. Where does that mean?
So it is independent cinema, which I still haven't. I don't know how anybody makes any money on any entertainment. I honestly have no idea how I make money on entertainment. But there was a screening shortly after Richard died of a very rough cut, so it is pretty much done, and I believe they are looking to premiere in Toronto at the film festival.
Nice.
But I
and the website you can go to James Dean, Dean with two E's and an N .com. You'll find anything about him. For me, just go to AdamCarolla.com. Everything's up there. Drew?
DrDrew.com. Everything's there.
So, thanks, James. Until next time, Adam Carolla for James Dean, Dr. Hussain. Mahalo.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.